Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Winter doesn't have to be your downtime for golf. In fact, it should be the time to get your body in shape and improve your game for the upcoming season. Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield offers a comprehensive golf performance program. Their innovative approach is geared towards golfers of all ages and abilities and combines medical and fitness assessment, specific golf movements, and TrackMan analysis. Elite Sport and Spine's team of TP certified providers then creates a plan for you to address your specific limitations, combining golf instruction, physical rehabilitation, and strength and conditioning. Call Elite Sport and Spine at 262-373-9168 for more information or visit their website at www.elitesportandspinewi.com and click Golf Performance Training. And stay tuned to Talking.Golf to find out how you can score a free sleeve of Pro V1 golf balls when you call our friends at Elite Sport and Spine. And we welcome you to Talking.Golf here, the first Talking.Golf of 2022. Rob Hernandez, joined by Gary D'Amato. And Gary, we welcome aboard Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. I know you've been working with them to try to get your golf game in shape, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the podcast. But we go right to the breaking news that we posted to the site yesterday afternoon, and that's the health scare that Steve Stricker has been dealing with since before Thanksgiving. And certainly a story that is blown up on our website, really moved the needle. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he's the Ryder Cup captain, and more importantly, he's an all-around good guy. And it's something we've known about for a while, but, you know, one of those stories that you can't really write until you know what to write. And finally, you know, Steve was able to have a conversation with you yesterday, and why don't you walk us through really how you know, the story unfolded and where Steve's at with this whole thing, because it is crazy.
It is crazy, Rob. And it's amazing that really nobody knew about this. Steve told me that he has told very few people. If this had happened, if he had gotten sick in say May or June, the whole world would have known, because he would have disappeared for 3 months, right? While he's dealing with the illness, not playing, and people would wonder what's going on. But because it's the off season, you know, nobody really knew. And yeah, Rob, this started when I reached out to Steve for a different story I was working on a couple months ago or several weeks back, and didn't hear back from him. Didn't get a text back from him, and that was odd, because Steve is usually, as you know, dealing with him over the years, very responsive to when we try to contact him. And a week went by, and then Nikki, his wife, texted me and said, you know, Steve's been pretty sick. He's in the hospital, and he can't talk right now, and please keep this confidential. So you and I knew that something was up. We didn't know what it was. And so we sort of just, I sort of just let time pass and figure out what Steve was dealing with and how he was dealing with it. And I texted him a couple of days ago and said, Steve, hope you're doing all right. I would like to do a story on your schedule, what you anticipate playing in. I hope you're feeling better. I heard you were ill. And so, you know, if you've got a chance, give me a call. And he texted me back and said, let's talk. And so I called him, and that's when he talked about this illness that he's been dealing with. First symptoms were in late October. He started getting a cough and a sore throat, and it led to a bunch of other things and some really scary stuff. And he's still dealing with it today.
And you raise a couple of good points. You know, let's backtrack to the Ryder Cup. I mean, he was really looking forward to life getting back to normal. But, you know, anybody who's, you know, kind of gone at what they do at a high level, at a very fevered pitch, knows what it's like. I always remember when I was covering high school sports in Madison, after the run of tournaments in February and March, especially the two back-to-back state basketball tournaments, you know, it was kind of like the end of March Madness. You had kind of have this point where you really have trouble getting out of bed, because, you know, you've really gone at it so hard. And that's certainly the way it was with Steve. And then And then, you know, fast forward to this time of year, really, you know, he's always been an under the radar guy. Never, you know, hasn't played the Schwab Cup, playoffs since he turned 50. And really, the only creatures who see Steve Stricker in the at this time of year are four-legged ones with a 10-point rack. I mean, that's Steve Stricker, and to hear that he was in the hospital, really, you know, you're like, it kind of knocked me back a little bit. That wasn't when you brought that up when you first heard from Nicky. I didn't expect to hear that, you know, or to have, you know, hear that Steve was battling something like that required hospitalization. He's just not that kind of guy.
No, it was a shocker. And, you know, I think, Rob, you and I were at the Ryder Cup together, and everyone could see that Steve was frazzled by the end of the Ryder Cup. He was tired. He was exhausted. And why wouldn't you be, right? I mean, there's a lot of pressure on him, you know, a lot of pressure on him to win at Whistling Straits. And of course, the American team played great and brought home a victory. But, you know, that's a very stressful job, being Ryder Cup captain. And not only that week, but in the weeks leading up, and the captain's picks and everything, the media obligations, the, you know, dealing with the PGA of America and the players. And there was a lot of stress on him. And, you know, he told me in our conversation yesterday that he thinks possibly the stress of being the Ryder Cup captain and the letdown and the emotional letdown after it's over, your immune system can be affected by something like that. And he doesn't discount that contributed to what he's dealing with now.
25 pounds lighter. He mentioned that he was freshman in high school weight, you know, skin hanging. It was really a gruesome description out of his own mouth about the current state of his situation. And it kind of brought me back to when I read your tale last year of your deal with COVID and, having the sock stuffed down your throat and not being able to breathe out of your nose. That's kind of a pretty bad 1-2 punch for a guy who's trying to still play competitive golf at a high level, getting down in weight to where he's at and looking the way he is, losing muscle, to me, it's a lot of red flags. I'm sure there were a lot of conversations between you and Steve about, you know, maybe, you know, the fact that a year ago you were essentially in the same hospital situation that he was this year.
Yeah, we did talk about that. He, you know, Steve knew about my COVID and he asked me some questions yesterday about what the effects were, how long I dealt with it, because he's going through some similar things. Now, the doctors, he tested negative at some point before he got sick, and the doctors apparently have ruled out COVID. So the other part of this story is, you know, if you go to social media, you see people going back and forth. Is he vaxxed? Is he not vaxxed? The jab did this. He's had a reaction to the... I mean, there's a lot of experts on Twitter, right, who really don't know anything. I'm going to take Steve at his word that the doctors don't know what caused this. That's what he told me. And that's, you know, Steve is many things. But among them, he is a straight shooter too. And he wouldn't make that up and just say that. So I'm going to take him at his word. They really don't know what caused this, but he's been dealing with a lot of stuff, Rob. I mean, like you said, he lost all that weight. He can't, he still can't eat solid foods. He said he's eating one hamburger and he said, it took me a long time to get it down. He's eating a lot of soups. And he said, it's hard to put weight back on when you're, you know, eating, when all you can do is eat liquids. And he said, if you put a steak in front of me right now, he said, there's no way I could eat it. So the consequence of that is he's still very weak. He has a hard time walking across the room right now. So it's going to be a long time before he's, you know, hitting a driver 300 yards.
And you're right about social media. I joked with somebody today that, the medical experts at Twitter General really, you know, don't this story any. And because, you know, again, this is a political hot potato. It is a social hot potato.
It is.
And it's not going away. In our community, even yesterday, there was a guy who, you know, tested positive. And we just don't know enough about, you know, these variants to know, what does that mean? What impact is it having on anybody? And then, you know, to throw in, you know, two vaccines, you know, the booster shots, you know, there's been a lot of moving parts to this whole thing. And I like your approach that, and I wholeheartedly agree with you, Gary. Steve Stricker is the definition of honesty. And so when he, you know, says the doctors don't know, he obviously, just like you with COVID last year, I mean, you wouldn't be in a hospital bed if the doctors knew what was going on. And I know that at one point, I think we heard that he had had a coughing fit so bad that kind of threw his heart out of rhythm for a while. And then that got back to normal. But, you know, when you're, you know, there's a lot of people that are, you know, trying to connect some dots. I think the biggest dot that needs to be connected is how can we connect Steve Stricker with good health again? And where do you see, you know, this going from here? It sounds like it when we talk about long roads to recovery, it sounds like this will be that for Steve Stricker.
It will, Rob. You know, the doctor, his cardiologist told him 6 months before he can play competitively again. And Steve said, you know, I really don't know if he meant 6 months since the onset of symptoms or 6 months since his hospital stay, which, you know, puts it at, you know, March, April, May, depending on what that 6 months means. But he said, all I know is, you know, I'm eligible for the Players' Championship in March because he won the senior players last year. And he said, that's my goal. And he said, will I be able to play by then? I really don't know. That's my goal. I'd like to be able to tee it up there. But if I can't, I can't. I'm going to be very cautious about this because the doctors told him that if he rushes back and is with his heart inflammation and it's not completely gone, this can keep reoccurring. So he said, we want to take care of it once and for all now. So I'm going to listen to my doctors, do what they tell me to do. And if it takes three more months before I can play, okay. And if it takes five more, that's okay too.
I know I wrote a story last year about Mallory Swartz, the 2020 co-player of the year for the WSGA for the women's side of golf. She's now at Bowling Green State. And, you know, she had that heart issue, you know, after a COVID positive test a year ago. And again, not trying to connect those dots again. But, you know, you really do have to listen to medical experts and not get back too soon. It's we go back. We haven't talked since our last podcast in late November about, you know, Tiger Woods' amazing return at the father's son. However, you know, again, that was what he would describe as a hit and giggle type of an event, you know, 2 days, you know, riding in a cart and not exactly, you know, Players Championship or Masters type level of competition. I think, you know, Steve does have to be cautious there. There aren't many events where you can just sort of ease your way back into playing on the PGA Tour.
That's true. And, you know, if he does decide to play a heavy Champions Tour schedule, he can take a cart. I don't know if Steve's a cart guy. Do you know, Rob? Do you think he'd consider taking a cart in some tournaments? I have a hard time.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, you know, we talk about, you know, some of the things that Steve did in the run-up to the Ryder Cup. And, you know, one of them, you know, he was as relaxed as he could have been driving the cart for Bobby at the LPGA Tour qualifying school out in Palm Desert. And, you know, so, you know, driving a car as a caddy is one thing, but, riding in it while, you know, you're competing, I don't know. Obviously Tiger Woods said absolutely no way, no how would he ever take a cart in competition. And, you know, it's a different, if it's on the senior tour, I think so. If it's to be able to play in the AmFam championship, absolutely. I would do whatever I can to be able to, and because you think about it, what is your alternative if you're at the AmFam Championship and you're not competing? You're going to be there and you'll be closer to the gallery and hearing, you know, and, you know, having to get well wishes from your many fans that we've heard so much from here in the last 24 hours, less than that.
Yeah.
And, you know, at least then you're buffered in the fairway. But obviously you've got to be able to swing a golf club like you know how to. I can remember when, you know, I probably lost about maybe 15, 20 pounds about 5 years ago now, and went to the range after having done that. I obviously you and I aren't guys that lose a lot of weight easily. Then you go to the range and you know, first of all, my arms feel like spaghetti noodles. And then, you know, I'm used to, you know, having a rather relatively, you know, ample sized gut to help limit the turn. And now all of a sudden my right hip's flaring through to the left side. And I'm going, how do I control this without anything to stop it? And that was after, you know, getting, you know, down to about maybe 210, 215. So still a lot there, but not as much as you're used to. I can't imagine with, you know, Steve, did he really say, what was the weight he quoted in your story?
Well, he said high school weight. And you know, I taped the, the recording, and I think I left it out because I wasn't sure what he said after that. I think he said 166. So he normally probably weighs 200 to 205. I'm guessing 195 to 205, somewhere in that range. So yeah, 25 pounds. Yeah, probably. So I think he said 166. That's pretty skinny for a guy who's 6 feet or 6'1", right in there.
Well, and let's not forget, and I think, you know, again, I started covering him in 1987, Wisconsin State Open at Westmore. And, you know, and so he was, you know, college age by that point, but I'd seen pictures of him in high school with the, you know, the floppy hair, and he just looked a little bit smaller. You know, that wasn't an era, you know, our era wasn't necessarily the weight room era unless you were a football player. And right. So, you know, that's a lot of weight to lose as you're, you know, as you're trying to maintain something that you've worked a career to define. And that's the golf swing. I mean, that's, again, there's a fine line between, you know, executing what you've worked on for many years and now having to adjust. And I think there'll have to be some adjustment in what he does, much like guys with back problems, knee problems that we've seen on the PGA Tour and the PGA Tour champions. But I think that's going to be a huge, you know, consideration in the comeback. And again, you don't want to do too much too soon.
Yeah, he's got to get his strength back. And, you know, 166, that's, you know, Steve didn't, you know, we both know, and people who have watched Steve play, he was not by any means even close to being overweight. He was in great shape. You know, yeah. He still had a flat belly at age 54. So for him to lose 25, you know, 25 pounds, that's a lot of weight to lose for a guy who's probably at a pretty good weight to begin with. Now, if I lost 25, it'd be a great thing, Rob. But
me too. I'd gladly give Steve whatever I can.
Yeah.
Why can't we donate? You know, the middle part.
Yeah.
We can blood. I almost
exactly
166. You're getting down there in Skip Kendall range. I mean, and he's not a
yeah.
So I mean, that's yeah. So we'll hope that turns around. And then, you know, your comment about the, you know, the PGA Tour champions, and, you know, this was supposed to be the year that everything returned to normal. He's playing on, you know, the senior tour, and because of, you know, how well Mario Tiziani, his brother-in-law and part-time caddy, you know, compete, you know, performed in the qualifying school, almost made exempt status and has conditional status on the senior tour. You know, he'll get into events. So the two of them, it would have been like, you know, back when they were both chasing the PGA Tour and could travel together. I mean, this was going to be a great year for him. I'm sure he was excited for what was lying ahead in terms of, you know, opportunities on both tours, but specifically that Champions Tour where he hasn't been able to really focus the last few years.
Yeah, no question, Rob. You know, he's played a lot on the PGA Tour for two reasons, out of necessity, because he wanted to be around the guys who were going to make his Ryder Cup team. And also because I think he still enjoyed competing like Phil Mickelson does with the younger guys, because he still was capable of doing it. But I think you're right. He was going to, the Ryder Cup was sort of the bridge to him jumping, when it was over, jumping back onto the Champions Tour a little more. I'm sure he still planned to play some regular tour events this year, probably not as many, but you're right. With Mario having a chance to play in some events, I'm sure Steve relished the idea of, you know, playing quite a bit more on the Champions Tour and a lot of it with Mario.
How did he sound during the interview, Gary? I'm sure some people are wondering, you know, both in terms of, you know, what, you know, how, I guess, alert, healthy, you know, was his voice, was his demeanor in what he was saying, and just kind of, you know, what did you take away from that?
Yeah, he sounded pretty good, Rob. You know, when we heard him make his announcement on the AmFam charitable donations a couple of weeks back, he didn't sound good. You and I both commented he sounded tired. His voice was not strong. And I mentioned that to Steve. I said, yeah, Rob and I both heard you, you know, heard your message, and we thought you didn't sound well. And he said, that's because I wasn't. I was sick. And he said, but I'm feeling better now. And his voice was much stronger than when we heard on that, in that announcement on the AmFam charitable donation. So he sounded pretty good. And we talked for quite a while, and it didn't sound like he was fatigued or anything like that. His voice sounded strong at least, but now the rest of his body has to catch up.
Another part of your story, Gary, that caught my attention was the impact on this and his family. Obviously, with wife Nikki and daughters Bobby and Izzy, and with Bobby and Izzy being at two very different points in their lives, Bobby, you know, having graduated about a year ago from UW and having successfully earned some, you know, conditional status on the Symetra Tour and the feeder tour for the LPGA Tour, still an amateur, so she can play amateur stuff and still chase that opportunity until she, you know, needs to, you know, maybe until she were to make money or compete for status. But Izzy, I believe will be a junior in high school this coming fall. So wrapped up her sophomore season last fall. I have to, I kind of chuckled to myself a little bit when I read that, because they're going to base themselves down in Florida, which is, I think, a great thing to do. There's nothing better for the soul than sunshine. But right. The fact that Izzy's going to IMG this semester, when Steve, kind of out of the blue sold their place in Naples last year, they were going to look for something elsewhere. I thought that was coming because in Izzy's class with Jessica Geiser and Trevor Dodd, both at IMG, there's a lot of pressure to try to keep up with the others in the class as we get in that, prime time for recruiting. And Izzy's had some, great moments in her junior career, but this is really going to give her an opportunity to focus on golf daily with the regimen they have in that golf academy. What did he have to say about the impact on the family and specifically his daughters, Bobby and Izzy?
Yeah, Nikki, his wife, kept a bedside vigil when he was in the hospital. He's been in all the hospital. Obviously, everyone in his family and his very close friends, the few people who knew about this, have been very concerned. And I'm sure this has been a hardship on the family. It's scary. It's scary when your father and your husband is in the hospital and the doctors can't figure out what's wrong. And his heartbeat is irregular and he's got inflammation around his heart. All that stuff is stressful on a family. But he is getting better. He got the permission to travel from his cardiologist on January 1st. So he packed up the family. They all moved down to just outside of Bradenton, where the IMG Academy is. And they're going to be there till May. They're there for a while. Izzy's going to be at IMG this entire semester of school. So Steve's entrenched now in outside of Bradenton, and he's just starting to chip, starting to walk a little bit. But it's a long road to recovery, like we said a few times. But his family's there with him, and they're all going to get through this together.
The other thing that comes to mind too is that when somebody Steve's age 54, has something like this happen, especially when they can't put their finger on it, then you go to family history. I had a chance to see the highlight of my fall was seeing both his mom and dad at the state high school championship for girls golf at University Ridge when Izzy was competing. Carolyn driving the cart and Bob sitting shotgun. And they look great for two people their age, but let's not forget that Steve did lose a brother, Scott, to complications from a liver transplant, and when he was 51, and that entered my mind. I don't know if you guys, touched on that at all, but you always think about again, especially when it's a little bit different, a little bit off, and the doctors can't put their finger on it right away. Whether there's, maybe a family history that crept in there. But, again, it's scary when you see a guy as healthy as Steve is, have to deal with something like this that can't be, cured with a snap of a finger.
Yeah, that's there's no doubt about that the doctors, went over Steve's family history. I mean, that's the first thing when you start having a problem like this. Doctors want to know your family history. They want to know, if when you get to our age, the first thing they ask, the doctors ask in a physical exam is there a history of prostate cancer in your family? And my dad had prostate cancer. So a lot of men get it, and a lot of men get it whose parents and grandparents have had it. So I'm sure that the doctors went over his family history. I'm sure they know that Steve's brother had Crohn's disease and died after a liver transplant. They took all that into account. I'm sure he went through batteries and batteries of tests. So he was in the hospital for a couple of weeks, and I'm sure that was addressed.
So his goal is Players Championship is a return. I'm sure AmFam in the back of his mind has got to be there. I talked to Nate Pokras this week for story that, you know, we always do for the Wisconsin.golf yearbook. And, you know, Nate is really excited. They plan to announce the musical act for Bree Stevens Field next week. And you know, the music part of that week will return to, you know, the docket. And then, you know, they're hoping to announce soon after that the celebrity foursome. So right now they're planning for an AmFam championship that is very similar to what we saw back in 2019 when we had great crowds. And of course, you know, everything, it was the tradition that it had become in three short years at that point before COVID. I'm sure that's got to be, you know, worst case scenario, the back of his mind, you know, he wants to tee it up in his hometown event.
Yeah. You know, that's early June, right, Rob? So yeah. 5 months from now. So, you know, by then, hopefully, fingers crossed, Steve is feeling pretty strong. If he hasn't already played in some things by then, you know, if he can't play in the Players, for instance, and he has to put off, you know, when he can re-enter competition, I'm sure he would love to, at the very least, be able to play by early June and play in the AmFam.
Lastly, Gary, on the topic of Steve Stricker here on Talking.Golf, you mentioned, you know, we heard from a lot of so-called medical experts on Twitter, but I was also warmed by the outpouring of support, you know, in a good way on social media.
Yeah.
There was, when I shared the post on my Facebook page, there's a nice comment to Steve from Badger basketball coach Steve Yoder, of all people, who you know, followed his career and is, you know, pulling for him. It's amazing how, you know, situations like this, you know, bring out your fan club, but maybe a lot of fans you didn't know were there. And I'm sure a lot of those will get conveyed to Steve as well. Anything that you saw on social media that really jumped out at you?
Nothing in particular, but I will say that, you know, after I posted my tweet, and tweeted out the story after we posted it on Wisconsin.golf, I just looked at it this morning and it's had, that tweet has had 500,000 impressions, and that's by far like 10 times more than anything I've ever tweeted, you know, in my life. So there's a lot of people who have found out about this. Obviously it's been shared, and you know, other golf reporters around the nation have, you know, have written things now off of our story. And I understand it was on the news in Milwaukee and in Madison last night, I know Green Bay. So word has really gotten out very, very quickly. And you're right, there's been a huge, huge outpouring of support for Steve. And he has an awful lot of fans, Rob.
Well, and if you are listening to us here on Talking.Golf, you've probably also heard Gary on radio interviews around the state, around the country, I would suppose, because it's not every day that the Ryder Cup captain, who, especially one who masterminded a victory the level that Steve did over at Whistling Straits, falls ill so soon after, and to the level that he did. So I'm sure you've been kept busy as well.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of radio interviews lined up after we get off this podcast, Rob, and I'm always happy to do that. I was happy to try to shine a spotlight on what we do, what you do, what we do at Wisconsin.golf, and this is a story obviously that a lot of people are interested in.
Well, and I think I speak for both of us when I say we're also, you know, we love shining the spotlight on golfers from Wisconsin, but the, you know, the guy for the last 30 years plus that has really carried that mantle has been Steve Stricker, along with Jerry Kelly. But you know, it's not hard to shine a positive light on Steve Stricker with all he's done through the AmFam Championship and his own career, but especially, you know, with that, you know, the charitable impact. And you know, it was another, you know, banner year for that, despite limited crowds at the 2021 AmFam Championship. So yeah, absolutely. You know, you love shining a light on a guy like that. And we fall in line when we say we wish Steve Stricker a speedy recovery. Gary, anything else that we should share with our listeners here on the Steve Stricker story? It certainly turned a very quiet start to 2022 into a very interesting one here this week. And again, I think, you know, hats off to Steve and a big thanks to him for trusting you to tell the story the way that you were able to do that.
Yeah, I was grateful to Steve that he did trust me. He said he's told very few people, and I'm the first reporter he told. And I'm going to leave it up entirely up to Steve when he wants to talk more about it to a bigger audience. If he wants to talk to Doug Ferguson with the Associated Press, I mean, it's totally up to Steve. And I'm going to leave it up to him. If he wants to talk about how he was vaxxed, when he was vaxxed, if he wasn't vaxxed, that's totally up to him. That the ball's in his court. I'm not going to do any speculating on that or put out anything that people, you know, are that's going to start one of those ugly conversations that we are trying to avoid here.
Yeah, because let's face it, you're not a guy doing a podcast with a sleeveless shirt talking to Aaron Rodgers. So there we go.
right.
We try to handle things delicately here and respect you know, again, a very volatile situation here across the country. So with that, Gary, the talking.golf again, new sponsor here as we start 2022. Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Winter does not have to be your downtime for golf. In fact, it should be prime time to get your body in shape and improve your game for the upcoming season. Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield offers a comprehensive golf performance program, and their innovative approach is geared towards golfers of all ages, even golfers as old as Gary D'Amato. We'll get to that in a second. And it combines medical and fitness assessment with specific golf movements and TrackMan analysis. Call Elite Sport and Spine at 262-373-9168. Remember that number, 262-373-9168, for more information or visit their website at elitesportandspinewi.com and click on the Golf Performance Training tab. And folks, if you call Elite Sport and Spine at 262-373-9168 and mention that you heard this read on talking.golf, you can receive a free sleeve of Pro V1 golf balls when you make that call to Elite Sport and Spine. And Gary D'Amato, I don't know if you got your Pro V1s, but you're certainly getting yourself in shape. I saw that picture of you among your golf balls, and it looked like you're in top physical condition and ready to take on the 2022 season. What's going on with you?
Oh man, Rob, I'm very far from in good shape, Rob, but I'm getting there, and I'm going to get there. I am all in on Elite Sport and Spine. Jake Lipsky, who runs Elite Sport and Spine, I'm working with a personal trainer, Tyler Kohler, no relation to Herb, and those guys work in concert with a golf professional, a young guy, Nathan Gex, and I hope I'm pronouncing his last name correctly. It's G-O-E-C-K-S. He's an assistant. He's Paula Cicero's assistant out at Bristlecone. And these three guys have got me on a program that, Rob, I know is going to make me a better golfer, because I have found out, I've learned more about my golf swing and more about why my body won't let me swing a golf club correctly in the last 2 weeks than I had heard, you know, than I had learned in all my years in golf. These guys are fantastic. And I really believe that they're going to get me, you know, I'm very sure with my driver, Rob, as you know, I hit it straight, but I only hit it 210 yards. And these guys promise they're going to get me out to 250 this summer. And if that happens, I will be singing their praises forever. So I'm all in, I'm working hard and changing my body. And along with that, I've got to lose some weight, but I just need to become more flexible, especially my pelvis and my hips. And we're working on some mobility stuff and some core strengthening stuff. And then once a month, I go to Nathan Gex, get on a TrackMan at Bristlecone, and we see the results. We see if it's working. So I'm very, very optimistic that I'm on the right path, Rob.
All right. I've got a new name for you. Gary D'Apostrophe Chambeau. There we go, baby. You're going to be, boy, I tell you what, boy, I can't wait to see the new and improved Gary D'Amato. What's been obviously you're limited in what you can do outside. So when you're hitting in the nets and things like that, can you feel, you know, a little bit of a difference in terms of what the points they're trying to get across to you?
Well, I've only had one TrackMan session, Rob, and Nathan explained to me why my hips weren't moving correctly and what I need to do to get them move correctly, because really your power comes from the ground up. You know, you push off from the ground with your feet, and that posting position that you see. And I think of a guy like Justin Thomas, who posts beautifully on his left side and gets his left hip way up and turned. You know, I can't do that physically. So the whole purpose of this program is to get me so I can get in those positions so I can hit the ball, you know, with more power. And so I've only had one TrackMan session, and then I train for a couple of weeks. Then I go back and do a TrackMan session, and we see if I've improved. And I'm fairly confident after just three sessions with my trainer, Tyler, I already see improvement in the way I move. So I'm really optimistic that the next time I get on TrackMan in a couple of weeks here, I'm going to see a lot of those numbers jump, and I'm going to see my ball speed jump and all that stuff. So it's all good, Rob.
It's exciting. I'm thrilled for you. And what a neat way to do it too. You know, especially when, you know, we've talked about this, and we talked about with a lot of the golfers that we've covered through the years, you know, the ones from Wisconsin kind of have this built-in opportunity. You know, you kind of make, you know, turn lemons into lemonade. You know, sometimes when you're talking about winter in Wisconsin, yeah, you can't get out on the course. Sometimes you got to go to heated stalls to hit, you know, golf balls into snow. But it also gives, you know, the competitive golfers the opportunity to, to work on things that maybe those that are playing year round in other parts of the country don't. And that's physical well-being. And I saw it in the Walker sisters down at Wasosha Central High School, you know, clearly, you know, dedicated themselves at a young age here from their freshman to their sophomore year to the weight room. And it paid off in a big way on the golf course. And it can happen for people of all ages. Obviously, on the PGA Tour champions, that seems to be what defines guys our age, Gary, from being at the top of the Schwab Cup money list to, you know, guys that struggle to keep their card to stay, you know, out there on that tour. It's, you know, Bernhard Langer, the Charles Schwab Cup champion, you know, from the overall standings last in 2021, you know, is a great example of that. What is he, 64 and still relevant in the game?
Yeah.
There are very few sports where that can happen.
Yeah, you're right, Robbie. If you look at the guys who excel on the Champions Tour, especially as they get a little older, almost all of them are in great shape. Bernhard Langer, great shape. Jerry Kelly's had some injuries, great shape. Steve Stricker, we just talked about until he got sick, what great shape he was in. Those are the guys who, as they get to be 55, 56, 58, who have taken care of their bodies and can still play at a high level. Now, I'm going to be 66 in 3 days, Rob. I have no illusions of getting to scratch, but I've been on 11, 12 handicap for about 20 years. And I really believe that with this program, I'm going to get down in the single digits and maybe get down to 7 or 8. I really believe it can happen. I'm very optimistic.
Well, that's something obviously that as we are here in the first week of 2022 that we can look forward to out of your game. Gary, what else are you looking forward to in 2022? I got to say, when I had the opportunity last week to cover three of our best golfers in one tournament Hunter Eichhorn out of Marquette, Harrison Ott, the two-time defending state open champion from Brookfield, and Pearson Hunt, the reigning state amateur champion out of Heartland. You know, they were out here for the Patriot All-America event at the Wigwam Resort, a great event that showcased a lot of great college men and college women's golfers over a three-day period. It made me excited for this year because in those three golfers alone, you've got a guy who's going to try to get his team back to the NCAA tournament in Hunter Eichhorn. And you've got two other guys who have been there before, or at least their teams have, that could wind up back here in Scottsdale. But then beyond that, Pearson Hunt being able to defend his title up at Sand Valley with a unique format, two courses the first 2 days. And then Harrison Ott going for number three at Ozaukee Country Club in Mequon, where the story I'm writing for the Wisconsin.golf yearbook kind of talks about how that's where things changed for Harry Ott when he played his very first state amateur there back in 2014, the one that was won by Alex Goggard, who's now in the bag of Eric Van Rooyen on the PGA Tour. And that's where he first started realizing what he had to do to get to another level. There's a lot on our plate here as we look forward, and I'm excited by it.
Well, you touched on it, Rob. I mean, you hit it on nail on the head there. I think it's a little bit of a golden era for young players in the state. We've got the guys you mentioned who are terrific players with very bright futures. And we got a guy like Adam Miller who doesn't play college golf, but is equally as good as those guys you talked about. Left-hander, caddies up at Sand Valley. Adam Garski. We've got Dustin Schwab who won the, we've got some very good mid-ams in the state who are going to give the college guys a run for their money. So I think you're right. I think this summer sets up to be with the venues that are we're going to go to for some of the big tournaments and the fields we're going to watch. I think it's going to be a very exciting year for golf.
And one last thing, please, that'll also be covered in the Wisconsin.golf yearbook. That'll If you're a member of the Wisconsin State Golf Association, you'll find that in your mailbox here probably in mid to late February. But it's the women's events are spectacular. The Women's State Open going back to the Woodlands course at Lasonia. And but they were at the Lynx course last year. But the big news with the women's events that I think I can share, we'll let the WSGA unveil their sites here in a couple weeks with the Wisconsin Golfer magazine online. But both the State Women's Open and the State Women's Amateur going back to 54 holes. And the common reason for that, Gary, is that you need a 54-hole event for those events to qualify for the Women's Amateur World Golf Rankings. And while they might not move the needle significantly, at least it gives those competitors who compete in those two events the opportunity to earn points. And you know, it just makes for a better championship. I think the 3 days for the women's events are great. We saw unprecedented participation in the women's events last year. And I think the natural progression to the next step with those two. And they both have great sponsorships behind them, with Century Insurance getting behind the state opens. And then, of course, West Bend Insurance behind the two state amateurs now. It's really neat to see how all these events are evolving. And, of course, they're all being run exceptionally well by our two associations here in the state.
Yeah, you know, when people come from when the Illinois guys come up, for instance, to play in our state, some of our state events, as they have the last couple of years because of what COVID did down in Illinois, they rave about the way the WSGA conducts its championships. The WPGA is great. All those guys are very seasoned, experienced tournament organizers. And you touched on a great point, Rob. As much we've talked about the guys quite a bit, and as many great young male players we have in our state, we have that many great young female players too. So both of us are going to be busy this year, Rob. A good busy.
And to kind of bring us full circle, I think one of our highlights of 2021 was the state women's amateur. So many dads caddying for their daughters, so many moms caddying for their daughters, but both parents in the Stricker household caddying for their daughters in the same state amateur with, I believe it was Nikki on the bag for Bobby, who wanted a playoff over Badger teammate Emily Lauterbach, and then of course Steve caddying for Izzy, and I think it was Izzy's if not her first, probably her second state amateur. So again, so much to look forward to, but a lot of smiles when we look back on 2021.
Yeah, for sure, we had a great year, Rob. Website is growing, traffic is growing, and sort of exploding. It has exploded this year with the Ryder Cup and now with the Stricker story, and let's just keep it going. We've got a lot of stuff to write about this year, a lot of people, a lot of golf courses, and it's going to be it's going to be a lot of fun going forward. I'm rejuvenated, Rob. I'm 66, but heck, I can do this for another 2 or 3 years, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So on that note, Gary, we'll let you rest the vocal cords for your round of on Radio Row this afternoon here on a Friday, and we'll be back talking golf again next week.
Sounds great, Rob. Thanks.
All right, for Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, this has been Talking.Golf, sponsored by Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Winter doesn't have to be your downtime for golf. In fact, it should be the time to get your body in shape and improve your game for the upcoming season. Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield, Wisconsin, offers a comprehensive golf performance program. Their innovative approach is geared towards golfers of all ages and abilities and combines medical and fitness assessment, specific golf movements, and TrackMan analysis. Elite Sport and Spine's team of TP certified providers creates a plan for you to address your specific limitations, combining golf instruction, physical rehabilitation, and strength and conditioning. Call Elite Sport and Spine at 262-373-9168 for more information, or visit their website at www.elitesportandspinewi.com and click on the Golf Performance Training tab. And don't forget, mention you heard about Elite Sport and Spine on Talking.Golf, and you can score yourself a free sleeve of Pro V1 golf balls. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.